Well, good morning, everyone. Praise God. Well, welcome to Eagle Mountain International Church this morning. How many of you are ready to get into the Word? Yes. Hallelujah. This morning, if you're watching by television, I just want to just take this time and just thank you for tuning in right now. I know this is you could be watching anything on television. I mean, I think even the Three Stooges are on and some other shows, but you're tuned in to a powerful network, the Victory Network. And the reason I say it's powerful because the teaching that comes forth through that network touches lives from the top to the bottom and all the way around the middle. And when I say it touches lives, lives are transformed and changed for the glory of God. So I invite you this morning to just take out your Bible, a pen, a pencil, something to write on, and just study the Word with us this morning. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, praise God. We got a power-packed service this morning. We're so excited at the service later on today. We have a special guest, and I'm not going to let you know who that is because I think word might get out. No, you already know who it is. We have Brother Rick Renner here with us today. Praise God. One of my favorites. And so we're so excited. We're so blessed today. So let's just bow our heads as we get into the Word of God this morning. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the matchless name of Jesus. And what an honor. Oh, what an honor it is to be counted as one of your children, to be counted as one of your own. And Father, we just love you this morning. We thank you for this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and we will be glad in it. Father, I pray that this morning as we dive into your Word, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you speak through me, you think through me. I pray that the words that come from my mouth, let it be to glorify you, but edify this body. And we ask this all in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, glory to God. I want us to turn to a very familiar portion of Scripture that is very familiar here in Mark chapter 11. Amen. Would you think I'm going to go somewhere else? I mean, this is the foundation, amen, foundation to what we believe and how we believe in speaking. And that's what I want to talk to you today. The title of this message that the Lord given me was, I changed it. I had it one title, but the Lord just put in my heart, who made your mouth? Who made your mouth? And we're going to look at some things here pertaining to the most powerful tool that we have. And, you know, we have the Word of God. But when you put the word in your mouth and you use that word and you speak that word, things change. I'm looking at a couple right here. You know, she spoke to her husband and called him back to this earth. You're going to live and not die. You know, and we experienced the same thing. When my daughter was diagnosed with a diagnosis that we weren't willing to accept and believe, the first thing that came out of my mouth was my daughter was going to live and not die, and she would proclaim the works of the Lord. And so when we tie this to what we have in here, things that seem almost impossible, things that seem almost like there's no way out, things change.
Amen.
You know, Brother Copeland says, one word from God.
Amen.
One word from God can what?
Change
your life.
Forever.
Forever. So let's look at this scripture here. I'm going to read it from the King James Version first, but Mark 11, beginning in verse 12, says, and on the morrow as they came from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig afar off having leaves, he came if haply he might find anything thereon. Excuse me. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Now, this particular scripture for the longest time kind of always, you know, made you think, you know, Jesus sees this tree. And he goes over, and the one thing that really kind of got to me was that there was no figs on it. And the one part of the scripture that really kind of just made me to seek the Lord of what it really meant was that it said, for the times of figs was not yet. Okay? Now that's kind of confusing. If you think, well, didn't he know? Well, the thing is, I didn't know. And I did some study on the fig tree. So when we look at this a little bit further, the fig tree is very unique. Fig tree has some very neat qualifications or characteristics about the fig tree. Now, I want to read this again, but I want to read it out of the New King James because one word I want to focus on here
we're going to look at the fig tree, but one word I want to look at a little bit further is that Jesus, and King James says, Jesus answered and said to it. All right? Now that kind of, almost kind of makes you kind of think he answered. Well, this the tree wasn't speaking. All right? But let's look a little bit further. That word particular, answered, really the better correct word is responded. He responded. And so New King James actually renders it correctly. He says on here, verse 13, and seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, but for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And his disciples heard it. Notice that Jesus responded. Say respond. He responded to the tree. You know, when I was growing up, my grandfather always, you know, was very methodical. He was a pastor for 30 years. Everything he did, he was never a person to react to anything that just occurred. You know, it didn't matter how, you couldn't surprise him. I mean, my grandfather was just solid. He was a prayer man. He would, I would kneel beside his bed as a little kid because I was raised by my grandfather for the majority part of my life growing up, stayed at his house a lot. I was the first of all of his grandchildren, and I wanted to be like grandpa. Only thing is, I'm 6'5", and he was only 5'4". All right? So he was a short man in stature, but powerful with his words, powerful in his prayer life. And I tried, you know, as a child, I would try, stay up with my grandfather in the middle of the night when he'd begin praying. You know, he had a routine. Every time he'd come back from the church or before, you know, a time before bed, he always had a fresh brewed carafe of coffee. All right. You think coffee keeps you awake. No. I understand maybe why he was doing that, because he was about to enter in and he needed that caffeine boost, I'm assuming. But he would drink his coffee and have a shortbread cookies. All right. And so, which is probably why I like shortbread cookies today. All right. And he would then go to his bedroom and he would kneel beside his bed and he would pray. And I'm not talking about a little 10-minute prayer, you know, bless, you know, my wife and me and our children no more, and you know, nothing like that. But I'm talking about he'd pray. He would enter in the presence of God. And I remember as a child trying to stay up, and he'd even give me, he'd feed me the words and I would repeat them. And then until I couldn't even keep up anymore, I'd sound asleep on my knees at the foot of the bed. And so I had that growing up, but he was such a strong man. He responded to things. I mean, there was no way you could frighten him, because, you know, we think about reaction. Well, reaction is, you know, but response, it seems like there's strength behind it. There's thought to what your next step is going to be. And that's the way my grandfather was. And so, you know, he's up in heaven today. Praise God, for been there for 20 years. And so, but I was just, I learned from him. I saw his respond to things. But when I looked at this, I saw that Jesus responded to this fig tree. Well, let's get this thought about this fig tree and why did it not produce fruit? Well, I had to do some study on this fig tree. And I found that fig tree and fruit, actually sometimes the fruit sometimes comes out before the leaves themselves, if not at the same time. So if you see this tree and it looks lush, it looks beautiful from a distance, what it would be easily to assume that it probably has fruit in it. That's why he walked up to it. He wasn't coming up to it. That part where it said where it's not yet, it wasn't for the season yet. For the season for the first fruits had come, but for that fruit that would be the kind that you would eat had not come yet. All right? So here he is. He comes up to this tree. There's nothing on it. It looks right. It looks full. It looks lush and beautiful to the eye, but it didn't produce. It was an unproductive tree. And Jesus responded to it, because really the picture that we have is that there was no production whatsoever. It wasn't going to do anything. It looks good on the outside, but it was barren on the inside. And he responds to this tree. And he states those words that no man eat of this tree hereafter. And we know that the disciples heard it. All right. So as he's going on his way, you know, they go. And what happens after that? They go to the temple. What happens at the temple? He cleanses the temple, which is very interesting to know, too, that it happened right after this particular event. But this particular tree, this unproductive tree, is for all to see, and Jesus sees it, all right? This was an immature tree. Now, Jesus then comes up because Peter runs up to him and says, what? This tree, it's dead. Because remember, he remembered him speaking to it. Did Jesus use an axe to it?
No.
Did Jesus do anything? Did he do anything physical to that tree? No. He spoke to it. Pastor George referenced a particular scripture last week, and I just want to read it real quick, but it's found in Isaiah 41:15. He says, behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument having teeth. I'm going to read that again. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountain and beat them small, and thou shalt make the hills as chaff. Well, when you think about it, he's talking about a mouth. Having teeth. Jesus used his mouth and the word to speak to that tree. Because the next thing you see here is that Peter says, well, wait a minute, look at this tree. And then we come to the scripture that we all know. We know it by heart. Jesus responds to him, answers him. In verse 22, have faith in God. In verse 23, look it over with your eyes. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatsoever he says. Now, you've heard this before, but it bears repetition for us to repeat it again. Notice the emphasis on what Jesus is saying here. Three times you hear him say the word say. Three different times. Speak to this mountain. Speak to the mountain of unproductivity in your life. Speak to the mountain of barrenness in your life. Speak to the mountain of issues and problems. Don't react to it. Respond to it. Respond to the mountain. And then he talks about have faith in God. Well, a better translation I would say was have the God kind of faith. We understand from Genesis chapter 1, God had faith. If God had no faith in what he stated, then none of this would still be here. But when he spoke, it was full of faith. Light be. Light still exists and still moves. Hallelujah. So we see something here. Speak to this mountain. Use words. He says three different times he says to us, he emphasizes the word say. Well, Pastor, I know this. I've heard this. Do you? Brother Hagin, Kenneth E. Hagin, whom I considered my father in the faith, Kenneth E. Hagin taught this scripture over and over and over and over and over again. And he was asked by, I'm sure, more than one individual that would ask him the question, are you ever going to go into another subject, another topic? And he said, well, as soon as I know you got this one, then I'll move on to the next. And he preached that way for 70 years. He started when he was 16 preaching, and he was 86 when he went on to be with the Lord Jesus. So 70 years he preached this. Hallelujah. It was, matter of fact, that faith and that speaking that raised him from the dead of sickness. His deathbed, literally. So, He emphasizes the word say. We all know the word. We all recite the word. We all speak the word. We all do what the word, we want to do what the word says. But we fail to utilize the greatest tool that has been given to man. And it's our mouths. We want to think it. You know, I'm just going to think it, and I'm just going to have a positive outlook on positive thinking. No. No. Well, I'm just going to be in good spirits. I'm just going to be, you know, happy and just going to glorify. I'm just going to be happy, 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 happy. I'm going to listen to happy music. No. No, you got to use this tool that has been given to you. Let's look at some scriptures pertaining to this tool. Because that's what the Lord really showed me in scripture. I want you to look over in Exodus, the third chapter. Actually, chapter 4. This is the burning bush experience. The Lord had already seen the oppression of His people. His people who were in Egypt and He had heard their cry because of their taskmasters. And then God does something. He calls out to a man named Moses. He calls out to a man. Now, he could have sent an angel. But he calls out to a man to face Pharaoh and to bring God's people out. And you know the story. Moses kind of fought with him a bit. You know, why should I be the one to go? And they're not going to believe me. And God has to prove Himself to him and show him miraculous things, you know, with the rod. But if you look over in chapter 4, this thing really kind of caught me here. If you look over in Exodus chapter 4, beginning in verse 10, Moses still isn't convinced. After seeing what God told him to do, after hearing Him, "You tell them I am sent you. You do this. What is in your hand?" You remember the whole thing? And then, even then, this whole convincing. Look at verse 10. "Then Moses said to the Lord, 'Oh, my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue.'" He was insecure because he was slow to speak. Historians, and we have accounts saying that he had a stuttering problem. He had an issue with speaking. He didn't consider himself eloquent enough for the position to go and bring God's people out. And so God begins to deal with this particular issue, because this is the part where we all kind of place ourselves like Moses. Well, I'm not skilled to teach. I'm not skilled to preach. You know, that's the job of the pastor. That's the job of all the associate pastors. I'm just supposed to be here and just believe with them. Let's look. Let's carry on reading here. In verse 11, "So the Lord said to him," look at this, "'who has made man's mouth?'" Who has made man's mouth? "Who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say." Verse 13, you thought that Moses would have gotten it? But he said, "Oh, my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send." In verse 14, God was pleased with him. "That's a good idea, Moses. Let me go find somebody who's better than you." Didn't say that. No, it says here in verse 14, "So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses." Why? He's being honest. He's being honest. He's seeing his limitation. Let me tell you, God doesn't look at your limitations. He looks at the possibilities. When you put your faith in Him and trust that He'll give you the right word at the right time, in the right season, praise God.
Amen.
And things will change. See, Moses was saying, well, I'm not eloquent. I can't even speak. You know, not many people know this about me. Little boy, I couldn't put a whole sentence together because I also had a very bad stuttering problem. Went to speech therapist. I remember going to speech therapist, and I remember this evangelist that came to my grandfather's church where he pastored. And this evangelist was preaching, and he said, there's a young boy in here somewhere. Bring him here, bring him here, bring him here. He said, his mouth's going to get loosed today. Well, my mother grabbed me, took me straight up to the front. The evangelist laid hands on me, and my mom said, we haven't been able to shut your mouth since. Glory to God. Haven't been able to shut my mouth since. And I'm glad. But when we start looking at the limitations, really, what constitutes a limitation? Why would you say you're limited when you have an unlimited God within? I mean, after all, you have the one, the very same one. The same one who raised Jesus up from hell, up from the grave. The very same one living and residing inside of you. The same, not a different, the same, the very same power,
Amen.
Very same power, which is why you were able to speak from that, from within that, yeah. That words came in concerning your husband.
Amen. Praise God.
And he came back and he's here with us today. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
6 years.
Like, 6 years later.
We just had the 6 year anniversary.
6 year anniversary. Praise God. I'm coming back to be on this earth. Praise the Lord.
Can I say something?
What are you going to say, sir? Let me see here.
Let
everybody hear you.
It makes a difference at what church you go to and the teachings that are being infilled into you. Just, you know, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And when you sit in a setting that we've been sitting in, and Jill hadn't missed one single Southwest Believers Convention, with all of that powerful teaching going in, and that's what was able to come out when the time came that she needed to use that.
Yeah.
And that's the reason I'm sitting here testifying today about how good our God is and how faithful He is. And He is faithful to the faithful.
Yes, He is.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. He said something that was key here about his wife. She had sat literally at the feet of different teachers.
Absolutely.
Hearing the word. The word being built up inside. Notice that scripture we just read a moment ago. The very last thing he said here in verse 11, he goes, who made your mouth? He goes in verse 12, I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. So all that was not done in vain. You didn't go to those sessions and those services just to show up. But you were being filled with the very word of God. And when the time came when your husband needed it, you used that word and he's alive today.
Amen.
Glory to God. Could you say the Lord taught you how to speak? He gave you the word to say. Hallelujah. Well, let's look at another example here, because this one really kind of gets me sometimes when I look at this particular young man who had such a relationship with God, and that's David. If you look over in 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, 1 Samuel 17, you're familiar with Goliath. Goliath represents the giants that you encounter in your life. Goliath could represent also those mountains that Jesus said you speak to.
Yes.
Because would you not say that Goliath was almost about the size of a mountain compared to David? David was a young boy. But he had spent some time in the presence of God. And so Goliath represents the giants that you may encounter in your life. And here this real Goliath, a Philistine defying the armies of Israel and bringing fear and intimidation to the land, we pick up here in verse 45. Because David, actually, no, I'm going to go back before that. Give me a second here. Let me find mine. All right. I want to look at something else here. Something very interesting here. David, he's that little brother that irritated his older brothers. Because when you look here, verse 12. Now David was the son. Let me see here. Is that it, where I was at? Help me, Lord. Thank you, Father. Verse 14. David was the youngest, and the three oldest followed Saul. But David occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep in Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening. Verse 17, this is where I was looking for. Then Jesse said to his son David, take now of for your brothers an ephah of this dried grain, these 10 loaves, and run to your brothers at the camp. In other words, take this food to them. Go take care of them. And carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their 1,000 and see how your brothers fare. And then bring back news of them. So in other words, he sent them out there on a mission. Go take this to them. Come right back. Let me know how your brothers are doing. Verse 19. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. So David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with the keeper, and took the things and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the camp as the army was going out to the fight and shouting for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had drawn up in battle array army against army. And David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army, came and greeted his brothers. Then as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines. And he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them. Now David begins to activate his mouth here. All right. And all the men of Israel, when they saw that the man fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel, and it shall be the man who kills him. The king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter, and give him his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel. So that seemed like a pretty good deal if you kill this Goliath. And you get the king's daughter and tax-free at that. Then David spoke to the man who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? Look at this. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? All right, he's thought this through. He's heard it. Well, he's been in the presence of God. He's seen some great things happen in his life, all right? And the people answered him in the manner saying, so shall it be done for the man who kills him. Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. And Eliab's anger was aroused against David, and he said, why did you come down here? This is older brother. Why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. And I love David's reply back. And David said, what have I done now? Responding like the little brother. I mean, this guy must have just, you know, given him one of those knuckle sandwiches, whatever. And here's David. What have I done now? What? I'm just asking. All right. Then he turned from him toward another and said the same thing. And the people answered him as the first ones did. Now, when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. Then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with the Philistine. So you know the rest of the story here. What happens? Saul says, gives him his armor and And then he sheds that armor because he had not yet proven it, right? So something here, verse 45. Then David, now he's coming up to the Philistine. He comes up to this giant. He does something first. He speaks. He uses the greatest tool he has. We think it was the sling and the stones. But he put in motion first with what he spoke. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. But," oh, I like this. "But," say but. "But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistine to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." Well, some will say that David was pretty cocky. No, he was confident. He was confident. Where did he get this confidence? He'd been with God. He'd seen already this happen already when he protected his sheep. So it was, verse 48, when the Philistines arose and came and drew near to David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistines. So notice, he's so confident now. He's spoken the thought. He's not running in fear, but he's running toward. Amen. Then David put his hand in his bag, took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face on the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine. The prevailing didn't occur just with the sling and the stone. It prevailed when he spoke.
Yep. Amen.
It set in motion his victory. He spoke to his mountain. Oh, church, this is big. This is big. He didn't react. He responded. He spoke. He responded to it. Glory to God. Well, how important is it that we use this tool? Why aren't we using it more? Why aren't we using this tool that we have, this mouth? Who made your mouth? It's more than just to eat. Or to give your lovely wife or husband a kiss. Speak. Speak. Let's look at another portion of Scripture, and we're going to start wrapping this thing up here. If you look over in Jeremiah chapter 1, I just want you to turn there. Jeremiah chapter 1. Something about David as well that was brought to his attention, that Saul looked at him and said, "You know what? You're just a youth, and this is a man. This is a man of an army. He's been around. He knows some things. You're just a youth." That's another thing where people usually kind of tend to trip up, because they don't think themselves qualified or experienced enough to use the word. And Moses had an issue with, "I'm not a good enough speaker. I don't speak well." And David knew the presence. He knew how to use his words, that it angered his brother. I want to add this. Sometimes when you speak in faith and you start speaking, it'll irritate even the closest people around you. Be careful sometimes who you share things with as well, because it'll irritate them.
Yes.
You know? So be mindful of that. All right? So, but look at this. Saul would even bring up his youth. But look here in Jeremiah. Jeremiah, this here is such a precious scripture to me. Jeremiah chapter 1, beginning in verse 4. Of course, the word of the Lord, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you, and I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Okay, no, let's stop here for just a moment before we go on. Notice the statement here that the Lord God knew you even before conception. He knew you. Jesus hung on that cross, and it says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He saw your faces. Brother Copeland sings that song, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. You weren't conceived in the natural yet, but God knew you. He knew you. And because he knew you, the word tells us here that he knew you before you were even formed, before you were even born. This is while you were still yet in your mother's womb, he sanctified you. He set you apart. He called you. He has a significant call for your life. That's big. Every life has a purpose. Every life has a place. And then he says, I ordained you. In other words, I put my hand upon you. I put my power in you. Then said I, notice the same thing, almost like Moses here. Then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. So now we see these two characters we saw. Moses, I can't speak. And then we see Saul telling David, you're just a youth. So here's Jeremiah saying those same things. He says, listen, I cannot speak. I'm not eloquent. I'm just a youth. I'm not experienced. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am a youth. But then he puts this directive on him. He says, for you shall go to all to whom I send you. And then he says, whatever I command you. What did he say? Whatever I command you. He told Moses, listen, I'm going to teach you what to say. You're going to go to Pharaoh. Whatever I command you, you shall speak. Then he tells them, but do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then verse 9 is very important for us to understand. And this is where you need to underline this and know it. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Whose words? When Jesus responded to the tree and Peter saw it, and then Peter questions him 24 hours later when he sees this tree dried up from the root. Look, Master, look at the tree. And then Jesus begins to teach him the importance of what you say. How to activate this with faith. Speak to the mountain. Speak to the Goliaths in your life. Amen. Go before those in authority. In many cases, we go before in prayer. You know, don't think that your prayer isn't changing things in this world and in this nation. It is.
Yes.
What did God spoke to Moses? Said, go to Pharaoh. Go to Pharaoh. He said, don't fear him. I made your mouth. I'm going to teach you how to use that mouth. You know, with my grandfather, I learned how to pray. He trained me. I learned how to pray. I learned by kneeling beside him and him feeding me word by word by word and me just repeating him. Mm-hmm. He was training me. He was helping me to put God's word in my mouth. Amen. Now I have a responsibility because I can feed myself the word of God. And then when it's needed, I can call that word and I can use that word. Amen. To remove the obstacles that are in my life. So look here. He says here, let's finish reading this part. He says, the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. What is that telling us? The power of your words. That you can tear down things, but you can rebuild with words. You can set in motion things that everyone else says is impossible. You can do so with the words. Use the greatest tool we have. Brother Hagin, when he received this revelation of you can have what you say, as he lay in the bed of sickness, paralyzed, 16 years of age, he said it would take him hours sometimes that he would stare at a glass of water, thirsty, wanting to drink that water. He said he would stare at it and he would then begin to say to himself, I will reach and I will take that glass. He said it took him some time, but he eventually would reach over and would take that glass. He was speaking. He was saying what he was going to be. Matter of fact, he said, if this will work for that, he goes, I'm going to get up out of this bed of sickness. He said, how do I know I'm healed? And the Lord said, because a healed person doesn't lay there sick. So he began to start speaking. I have strength in my body. I am well. I will get up. I will dress myself. He said, all of a sudden, he began to start moving and pulling himself up. What was he doing? He was using the word that God had showed him in Mark 11, 22, 23. And he was using that word and it was coming and materializing in his physical body. Yeah. Psalm 107, verse 20. God sent his word. He sent his word. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 20 and 22, 20 to 22. The word. He's feeding us. He's teaching us the word. But what do we do with the word? You speak the word. Hallelujah. You speak the word. You do something with it. Don't just let it sit there. No, you use that word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we see here that in this instance, don't say that I'm a youth. And in some cases, don't say that I'm too old. You know, at Kenneth Copeland Bible College, we have a student who's 82 years of age. She's not old. I told her the other day when I saw her, I says, you're one who we see who is actually defying age. You're going back. She's been on mission trips at 81, 82, walking, keeping up with everyone else. Doing her thing, coming to school every morning, doing her homework, and making straight A's. Praise God. She could have given up and said, you know what, I'm just too old for this. This is let the school be for the young ones. And she would have had what she said.
Yeah.
Who made your mouth? That's my question to you. Who made your mouth? What will you do with that mouth? It's very, very interesting that even we see the things that come out of our mouths. Sweet water, bitter water. What's coming out of your mouth? What are you setting in motion in your life? Why are you still staring at the mountains? Why aren't you activating your faith with the words that you speak? Why aren't you speaking to those mountains? You know, we spoke last year. The last year was we built on that, but of abundant harvest. It was the year of abundant harvest. Some of you are still looking at some unproductive mountains or unproductive trees in your life. It's time you start responding to it. Don't just sit there and stare at it, trying to figure out what to do and why isn't it working. If something isn't working, in that case, when Jesus saw that tree, it wasn't producing. It looked right. On the outside, it looked right. It was lush and green and vibrant, but it wasn't producing. And he spoke to it. There's reference that even the if something isn't producing, you cut it out. Cut out the root of unproductivity from your life with the words you speak. Cut out the root of unproductivity in your life. Say this out loud. My life,
will no longer be unproductive.
In Jesus' name. Everything I put my hand to prospers. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Do you believe that everything you put your hand to prospers? It prospers. It's blessed. We're blessed so that we can become distributors. We haven't even hit the distribution yet. We want to be distributors. Distributors of what? The blessing, the wealth, our accumulation that we receive. The purpose is so that we can become distribution centers.
Amen.
It's not so that we can live in a nicer, grander house. That's part of it, glory to God.
Amen.
That's part of it. But to be a distribution center. Has anyone seen the big distribution center out here? Start with an A and you can order something online and you get it that very same day. All right. I've seen they have several of these around the DFW area. One by my house, huge. I remember when I'm going down that street, I have to kind of plan it so that I don't hit the traffic of all the employees coming and those leaving. All right. And I think about, wow, that is a nice distribution center. That is one big place. And then the Lord spoke up to me. He says, I've made you to become a distribution center. Meeting the needs of those who are in need. Oh, goodness. Well, I'm just a youth. I'm too old for that. That mountain's way too big. I have too many giants in my life. Woe is me. Woe, woe, woe. Yes. What was that again?
Say that. Shut that up.
That's right. You shut that up. Don't get, that's not, say that, that's not my testimony. Hallelujah. You get anything out of this?
Yes.
We got to put the word, we got, remember he said in his word, I will teach you what to say. Oh, I like that. I want to teach you what to say.
Yes.
He told Jeremiah, I'm just going to put my words in your mouth. Woo. Ooh, glory to God. Get excited so that when something comes up, you know, so that you're never caught by surprise. Because, you know, the body of Christ should never be caught by surprise. We don't have to react. We're already set to respond. We're set to respond with the word of God. We have a tool. We have a weapon. We've got a weapon.
Hallelujah.
It doesn't need any greasing or any kind of, you know, or tightening up or anything. No, it works all the time. Yeah. It works all the time. Praise God. His word in my mouth. His word. Oh, glory to God. Speak to that mountain. Speak to that mountain. Some of you need to speak to that mountain of debt. Speak to the mountain. Speak to the giant of sickness. Cancer tries to reveal itself as a giant. Remind him. Remind that cancer is a name. And it's below the name of Jesus. It's under the name of Jesus. I have authority to use that name. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. You know, Brother Hagin used to say, I preach myself happy. I preach myself happy this morning. Glory to God. God is so good. Praise the Lord. Well, we are so excited. Like I said, this rest of this service, we're going to end up coming here in a moment. We're going to have Pastor George, Pastor Terry, and then we have a very special guest this morning. So we invite you to stay tuned. Don't go away. God bless you. We'll pass that on over to Pastor Greg.